Here on Radio 4 FM, our book of the week, Sapiens, A Short History of Humankind by Yuval Noah Harari. Adrian Scarborough continues reading from this thought-provoking account, which examines humankind's rise to world domination. Today, an exploration of the driving forces behind our transition from foragers to farmers.
Scholars once believed that the agricultural revolution was a great leap forward for humanity. They told a tale of progress fueled by human brain power. As people became smarter, they discovered how to tame sheep and cultivate wheat. They then abandoned the grueling and dangerous life of hunter-gatherers and settled down to enjoy the pleasant and satiated life of farmers. That tale is a fantasy. There is no evidence that the agricultural revolution was the product of increasing intelligence, and for most people, farming was a more difficult and less satisfying way of life. Agriculture certainly enlarged the sum total of food at the disposal of humankind, but the extra food did not translate into a better diet or more leisure. Rather, it translated into population explosions and pampered elites. The average farmer worked harder than the average forager and got a worse diet in return. The agricultural revolution was history's biggest fraud. Who was responsible? Neither kings, nor priests, nor merchants. The culprits were a handful of plant species, including wheat, rice, and potatoes. These plants domesticated Homo sapiens rather than vice versa. Think for a moment about the agricultural revolution from the viewpoint of wheat. 10,000 years ago, wheat was just a wild grass, one of many, confined to a small range in the Middle East. Today, it is growing all over the world. According to the basic evolutionary criteria of survival and reproduction, wheat has become one of the most successful plants ever. How did this grass turn from insignificant to ubiquitous? Wheat did it by manipulating Homo sapiens to its advantage. This ape had been living a fairly comfortable life, hunting and gathering, until about 10,000 years ago, but then began to invest more and more effort in cultivating wheat. Within a couple of millennia, humans in many parts of the world were doing little from dawn to dusk other than taking care of wheat plants. It wasn't easy. Wheat didn't like sharing its space, water and nutrients with other plants, so men and women laboured long days weeding under the scorching sun. Wheat was in constant danger from rabbits and locust swarms, so the farmers built fences and stood guard over the fields. Wheat was thirsty, so humans dug canals or lugged heavy buckets from the well to water it. The body of Homo sapiens had not evolved for such tasks. Studies of ancient skeletons indicate that the transition to agriculture brought about a plethora of ailments, such as slipped discs, arthritis, and hernias. Moreover, the new agricultural tasks demanded so much time that people were forced to settle permanently next to their wheat fields. This completely changed their way of life. We did not domesticate wheat. It domesticated us. Ancient foragers usually lived in territories covering many dozens and even hundreds of square kilometres. Home was the entire territory, with its hills, woods and open sky. Foragers usually didn't waste much time thinking about next year. In contrast, farmers lived in crowded villages and cramped huts and always had to worry about the future. Although there was enough food for today, next week and even next month, they had to worry about next year and the year after that. Consequently, from the very advent of agriculture, worries about the future became major players in the theatre of the human mind. Attachment to my house and separation from the neighbours became the psychological hallmark of a much more self-centered creature. How did wheat convince Homo sapiens to exchange a rather good life for a more miserable existence? What did it offer in return? It did not offer a better diet. A diet based on cereals is poor in minerals and vitamins, hard to digest and really bad for your teeth and gums. Wheat did not give people economic security. Foragers relied on dozens of species to survive. If the availability of one was reduced, they could gather and hunt more of another. Most early farmers, in contrast, relied on just a single staple, such as wheat. If the rains failed or some disease infected that staple species, peasants died in droves. Nor could wheat offer security against human violence. The early farmers were at least as violent as their forager ancestors, if not more so. When a foraging band was hard-pressed by a stronger rival, it could usually move on. When a strong enemy threatened an agricultural village, retreat meant giving up fields, houses and granaries. In many cases, this doomed the refugees to starvation. Farmers, therefore, tended to stay put and fight to the bitter end. Since we, in today's prosperous societies, enjoy affluence and security that are ultimately based on agriculture, we assume that the agricultural revolution was a wonderful improvement. Yet it is wrong to judge thousands of years of history from the perspective of modern affluent societies. A much more representative viewpoint is that of a 3-year-old peasant girl dying from malnutrition in first century China because her father's crops have failed. Would she say, "I'm dying from malnutrition, but in 2,000 years people will have plenty to eat and live in big air-conditioned houses, so my suffering is a worthwhile sacrifice"? What, then, did wheat offer farmers, including that malnourished peasant girl? It offered little for people as individuals, yet it did bestow something crucial on Homo sapiens as a species. Cultivating wheat provided much more food per unit of territory and thereby enabled Homo sapiens to multiply exponentially. The currency of evolution is neither hunger nor pain, but rather copies of DNA helixes. From such a perspective, 1,000 hungry and worried farmers are better than 100 satiated and carefree foragers. This was the essence of the agricultural revolution: the ability to keep more people alive under worse conditions. Yet why would sane people agree to lower their personal standard of living just to multiply the number of copies of sapiens' DNA? Nobody agreed to such a deal. The agricultural revolution resulted from a miscalculation. Not for the last time in history, people made momentous choices without really understanding the full consequences. When our ancestors decided to do a bit of extra work, say, to dig an irrigation canal, people thought, "Yes, we will have to work harder, but the harvest will be so bountiful. We won't have to worry anymore about lean years. Our children will never go to sleep hungry." It made sense. If you worked harder, you would have a better life. That was the plan. The first part of the plan went smoothly. People indeed worked harder, but people did not foresee that the number of children would increase, meaning that the extra wheat would have to be shared between more children. Neither did the early farmers understand that feeding children with more porridge and less breast milk would weaken their immune system, and that permanent settlements would be hotbeds for infectious diseases. They did not foresee that by increasing their dependence on a single source of food, they were actually exposing themselves even more to the depredations of drought. Nor did the farmers foresee that in good years, their bulging granaries would tempt thieves and enemies, compelling them to start building walls and doing guard duty. Then why didn't humans abandon farming when the plan backfired? Partly because it took generations for the small changes to accumulate and transform society, And, by then, nobody remembered that they had ever lived differently. And partly because agriculture resulted in a growing population, and you couldn't feed this growing population without agriculture. The pursuit of an easier life thereby resulted in much hardship. Similar things happen to us today too. How many young college graduates have taken demanding jobs in high-powered firms, vowing that they will work hard to earn money that will enable them to retire and pursue their real interests when they're 35. But by the time they reach that age, they have large mortgages, children to school, houses in the suburbs that necessitate two cars, and a sense that life is not worth living without really good wine and expensive holidays abroad. What are they supposed to do? Go back to digging up roots? No, they double their efforts and keep slaving away. One of history's few iron laws is that luxuries tend to become necessities and to spawn new obligations. Once people get used to a certain luxury, they take it for granted. Then they begin to count on it. Finally, they reach a point where they can't live without it. Sapiens was not the only animal whose fate was irrevocably changed by the transition to agriculture. The agricultural revolution had an equally deep impact on animals such as cows, pigs, and chickens, which were domesticated by the human farmers. From a narrow evolutionary perspective, the agricultural revolution was a wonderful boon for these domesticated species. They have become the most widespread animals in the world. More than 90% of the big animals living today on planet Earth are domesticated farm animals. Unfortunately, this evolutionary perspective fails to take into account individual suffering. Domesticated cows and chickens may well be an evolutionary success story, but they are also among the most miserable creatures that ever lived. Their domestication was founded on a series of brutal practices that only became crueler with the passing of the centuries. This discrepancy between evolutionary success and individual suffering is perhaps the most important lesson we can draw from the agricultural revolution. When we study the fate of plants such as wheat and maize, the purely evolutionary perspective probably makes sense. Yet in the case of animals such as cows, chickens, and sapiens, each with a complex world of sensations and emotions, we have to consider how evolutionary success translates into individual experience. Throughout history, the collective success of a species could go hand in hand with much individual suffering. This is particularly true of sapiens. The agricultural revolution gave Homo sapiens immense new powers, but more than 90% of sapiens in agricultural societies were peasants, who rose each morning to till the land by the sweat of their brows. The extra food they produced benefited them little. Instead, it fed the tiny minority of elites, kings, officials, soldiers and priests who fill the history books. History is something that very few people have been doing and enjoying, while everyone else was ploughing fields and carrying water buckets.
Sapiens, A Short History of Humankind was abridged by Penny Lester and produced by Gemma Jenkins.
BBC Radio 4 examines how the tensions in the Middle East have been reported over the decades.
From 1948 until the Yom Kippur War in 1973, the template was small, plucky Israel, David versus the Arab Goliath.
Looking at how coverage has evolved since the foundation of the Jewish state.
A biblical prophecy comes to pass as the forces of Israel sweep on in an astonishing triumph of strategy.
Archive on 4, Media and the Middle East. This Saturday night at 8.